Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrents fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest. and givest me mercy from thee. Forgiveness decreases thee not, and giving injuries thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from thee. The facility to obey thee at its beginning, and the favor of thy forgiveness at its end. O he who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum, welcome to this episode of today's special. We're going to speak about the culture of Arba'een, the 40th day of Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom. Today, Sunday, is the 4th of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of September, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 34.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ
And mention when we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam. So they prostrated, except for Iblis. He refused and was arrogant and became of the disbelievers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
There is no doubt that prostration with the purpose of worshipping is deserved by no one but Allah alone. Therefore, it is beyond doubt that the infallible beings like the angels prostrated themselves for Allah. But it was for the creation of such a splendid being, Adam, that they obeyed him by prostrating. Or if they prostrated for Adam, their prostration was a kind of obeisance, not an act of worshipping. Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza, peace be upon him, said, The angel's prostration was for the adoration of worshipping Allah on one side, and for the obeisance and respect of Adam on the other side, because we, Ahlul Bayt, were in his seed.
Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. I'll give my life and soul just to get to Karbala.
This is Arba'in, let's go to the Arba'in. This is Arba'in, let's go to the Arba'in. Of Imam Hussein, let's perform the Arba'in.
Arba'in walk, a symbol of peace and humanity. Arba'in is an Arabic word and it means the 40th. In Shia culture, this word refers to the 40th day of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred in Karbala on the 10th day of Muharram, the first month in the Hijri lunar calendar, which is known as the day of Ashura. And according to historical accounts, on the 40th day after his martyrdom, the survivors of Ashura event, namely the children, wives, and other relatives of the martyrs of Ashura, returned to Karbala and made pilgrimage to the tombs of Imam al-Hussein and other martyrs of Karbala. The pilgrimage of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam continued on Arba'in day in the following years. Shia imams encouraged their followers to this pilgrimage. Their words persuaded Shia Muslims to go to Karbala on Arba'in day to make a pilgrimage to the shrine of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. The tradition of Arba'in pilgrimage has continued to this day.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain social, political, and cultural aspects of holding the Arba'in march and Arba'in walk in Iraq. In this regard, it must be asserted that the phenomenon of Arba'in has got various aspects. So one of them is the political aspect. On Arba'in, not only Shias, but also many Sunni brethren and many non-Muslim brethren, non-Muslim people, go to Karbala on foot. And nowhere else in the world can you find such a kind of religious integrity based on Shi'i beliefs to be in practice. And in this connection, we find that none of the Salafi groups or none of those, non-Muslim and chiefly secular groups and trends would have been able to come up with such kind of influence worldwide. Yet you find that such a kind of demonstration, such a kind of peaceful demonstration with much sacrifice that local people of Iraq show, all of them indicated that another group or another culture is going to be shaped in the whole world based on the notions and indications of remembrance of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the day of Arba'in. At the same time, it shows that the memory of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam cannot be said to belong to the remote past in the early, Islamic community or in the early Islamic era. Rather, we find that the more we go ahead and the more time is spent, the memory of Ashura and the memory of Arba'in gets reinforced, not by governments, but by masses, by common people.
Hussein!
You are with IRIB English Radio and this program, today's special, we're speaking about Arba'een Walk and its purpose. The Arba'een Walk creates a competitive advantage. The existence of a large number of religious and motivated people in defending religion and its values and symbols is a unique source of power that cannot be imitated in any other way, and its results can be used for the progress of interests and policies of the Islamic world. The Arba'een Walk is a sign of unrivaled advantage and an expression of unlimited potential power among the Shia, which has created the ability to defend and counter any danger. In this part, we have a short look at political message of Arba'een Walk. First, unity of Islamic Ummah, an Islamic community. The most important message of the largest religious rally in the world is the unity of the Islamic Ummah in the light of love and devotion to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. Because all Islamic denominations have the love of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and therefore a great capacity like the pilgrimage of Arba'een could be at the core of the unity of the Islamic Ummah. Second, fighting arrogance and love of freedom. Studying the slogans of Arba'een Walkings shows freedom, dignity, their spirit in fighting arrogance and their hatred of oppression. In fact, similar to the uprising and the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, which was for freedom and the rejection of tyranny, this walk is also to protect this uprising and movement.
We witness the largest gathering of human beings on the face of the planet in the land of Karbala. Millions of people from all walks and backgrounds, even from multiple sects and religions, have gathered in one land for one cause, and that is to honor the legacy of Al-Imam Abi Abdullah Al-Hussein Salawatullahi Alayhi. Allahumma salli ala. However, we see that the media globally has not done justice to this event, because they know very well that if they put the spotlight on this ziyarah, on the Arba'een Walk, this will transform millions of people around the world and attract them to the light of our beloved Imam. Despite the challenges, despite the lack of proper infrastructure, despite the security situation, we still find millions and millions of people taking this risk and going to the land of Karbala to honor the legacy of their Imam. This is the ziyarah of Arba'een. Safwan al-Jammal, one of the companions of the sixth Imam. You'll find that many of Imam Hussein's ziyarahs are narrated by who? Safwan. You know why? Safwan, what was his profession? What job did he have? He was Jamal. Jamal in Arabic comes from the word Jamal. And Jamal means what? Camel. Jamal basically owned camels and he would rent them. He was like a taxi person. He'd rent you his camels if you wanted to travel from Medina to go to Iraq. So Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in a number of trips, he would go with Safwan. And he would rent the camels from him. So Safwan had the honor of accompanying Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in many of the trips to ziyarah. That's why you find many of the ziyarahs of Imam Hussein are narrated by Safwan. because he would go with the Imam to Karbala, to Najaf, to Kufa, to visit these holy places. Safwan narrates this hadith. He says, Mawlai, my master, Ja'far ibn Muhammad, told me on the 40th, you visit Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, when the sun rises high in the sky, close to Dhuhr. So we have this hadith from Safwan.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. And we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. Please keep us in your prayers and fi amanillah.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. For the steadfast, a misfortune is only one, while it is twofold for the impatient.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for our respected audience a beautiful hadith and narration which has been narrated from Imam Al-Qadhim alayhi salam. This hadith is about the completion of a good act, fulfilling it, taking it to its end and completing it. Imam Qadhim alayhi salam said, "A good favor done to a fellow believer is not considered complete until accompanied by three things." You know, if you want to do a good favor to your fellow believer, your brother in faith, or your sister in faith, this good favor is not complete until it has three properties, it has three characteristics, or it is accompanied by three things. The first is this. The first is the underestimation of the act, meaning the person who is doing this favor to somebody else, he should not consider it as very great. He should underestimate it. He should not believe its value. It is of any value, and then it is very good. Second is concealing it. He shouldn't go around bragging about it. He shouldn't go around telling other people about it. He should try to conceal it as much as possible. The third is hastening its completion, meaning he shouldn't leave it half done. He should try to take it to its end. He should try to complete it. Right? Like you say that he wants to go and build a mosque, you know, in a poor neighborhood. Right? He shouldn't go and build the foundation of the mosque and forget about it for another 5 years until he gets, you know, more money. He should try to go and secure the rest of the funds to build the money and complete it. He should go and try to secure the rest of the funds to complete the mosque and you know, go and finish it, get it over with. He who underestimates his good turn to his fellow believer has esteemed his brother highly indeed. Meaning if somebody believes that the act that he has done is not very virtuous, is not very great, in reality, he believes that his believer to whom he is doing this favor to deserves more than what he has done, right? So in fact, you are, you know, regarding your brother in faith as very great. This is a good virtue. This is very virtuous. This is very good. Whereas he who esteems his good turn to be great has deemed his brother to be insignificant. If one is considering the act that he has done, the favor that he has done, to be very good, in reality, he has belittled his brother. He thinks that, you know, this person doesn't really deserve what I have done for him. So he's belittling his brother, which is something bad. He who conceals the good turn that he has done has honored his action. And he who hastens to fulfill his promise takes pleasure in the gift too. Right? It's not very pleasurable, you know, to perform half of a good deed or a portion of a good deed and not take it to its fulfillment. When we look at the final product or of the action that we're doing, the end product, the end result of it, that's when we actually take pleasure in the thing that we've done, right? So it's good to hasten and complete the thing that we're doing and take it to its end so that not only that we can take pleasure from it, but also that the actual effects that that act has can be seen and can result and accrue from the act that we're doing. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the completion of a good act in the words of Imam Qadhim alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, especially our brothers here, Brother Fawad Haider, Sayyid Ali Nasir, and Hussein Ruhullah. Welcome everyone. Assalamu alaikum, and how are you, Fawad Haider?
Fine, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. How about Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay, alhamdulillah. He says always alhamdulillah, and that's alhamdulillah, he says alhamdulillah. How about Hussein Ruhullah?
Fine, sir.
Fine?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. It's better to say alhamdulillah, right? Like Ali Nasir. So, respected brothers and sisters, we are, inshallah, going to hold a series of other Quranic sessions. That in this series of Quranic sessions, inshallah, we will be working on the tajweed rules practically, that we actually learned the tajweed rules in the previous sessions. But inshallah, from now on, we will be holding some sessions on practices, okay, of these tajweed rules. We'll be practically, inshallah, applying all those rules on the verses of the Quran Kareem. Our brothers here will be reciting, inshallah, the Quran Kareem, and we will be like, if there was any mistakes, okay, if there was any errors with recitation, with reading, fluency, tajweed rules, inshallah, we'll fix them. And beside this, we will have short explanations of each ayahs of the Quran Kareem that we will be work on, okay? So today, inshallah, we will be working on Surah Al-Baqarah from the first ayah. We will be, inshallah, explaining, just short explanations will be given. And after that, the recitation and the practical tajweed rules will be, inshallah, held, okay? So before we start, let's recite aloud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
I have to mention that if you missed our Quranic sessions, the previous ones, level 1, the reading and fluency, level 2, reading and fluency, and level 3, the tajweed rules, I recommend you listen to the previous audios as well. Make sure you listen all of them, because all the sessions, all the lessons are in a row, okay? They are in orders, one after another. You have to follow each session. Then, inshallah, those sessions will surely help you a lot, okay, in understanding the tajweed rules and how to recite the Quran. Okay? So, alhamdulillah, our brothers here, they have completed the tajweed rules, the reading and fluency. And now they are able to read. Am I right? Fawad Haider, am I right?
Yes.
Ali Nasir.
Yes.
And Hussein Rahullah.
Yes.
Okay, so if this is the case, recite a salawat. Let's start.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
So in the current version that we have in the Quran, the current copy of the Quran that we have, this divine scripture, okay? So the first surah is actually in this divine book, okay? And if we see, we have Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the beginning surah, but it was not the first surah revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yeah, sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first five verses of surah Al-Alaq were the first verses sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Hira cave. Yes. Since the scholars, okay, the Muslims in the early years, they put the Quran, okay, the surahs, the ayahs, into order, okay. Now we have this copy of the Quran, okay. The second surah in this Quran, if we see, it's Surah Al-Baqarah, right? So how many surahs do we have, Hussein Ruhullah, in the Quran?
114
surahs. 114 surahs. Great. The longest surah is Surah
Al-Baqarah.
Al-Baqarah. So it's the longest surah, and it has a lot of, stories, a lot of great lessons inside, okay? Like, so it has the lessons of Tawheed, the lessons of oneness of God, the lessons about Qiyamah, the lessons about the story of Prophet Adam alayhi salam and the evil, the Satan, okay? The story that Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam and commanded all the angels and the Satan, okay, to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. So that story is as well mentioned in this Quran, okay? And in the Quran, in this surah, we have the greatest ayah of this surah as well, in this surah. The greatest ayah as well we have here, okay? In Surah Al-Baqarah, one ayah is the greatest ayah of this surah. And that's called Ayatul Kursi, that inshallah in the next coming sessions, if we got time, inshallah, we'll talk about them, each ayah, okay? Especially Ayatul Kursi.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
This ayah, this surah, the name, actually, it's important to understand, yes? What does the name, what is the meaning of Al-Baqarah and why is it Al-Baqarah, why not any other name? So, do you have any idea about it? What does Al-Baqarah mean?
Cow?
Yeah, Al-Baqarah means cow. In the verses 67 up to 73, we have this story of this cow, okay? 67 up to 73. If you go to this ayah, Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 67, okay? Verses 67 up to 73. In these ayahs, we have that Prophet Musa alayhi salam says to his nation, okay, his people, that أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا قَالُوا أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. This ayah, okay? So this is the story of the cow of Bani Israel, that inshallah when we come to this ayah, we'll explain this. Alright? So this is enough for this session about the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah. Inshallah, the next ayahs that we come to practice, when we start to the ayahs of the Quran, the Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah, we'll explain more, okay? From Alif Lam Mim. Now, we will be, inshallah, practicing the first ayah to ayah 5 of Surah Al-Baqarah, okay? Now, let's listen to this ayat.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
Okay, alhamdulillah, we listened to these verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Now, let's go on and recite all together these five verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem of Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? Ready, inshallah?
Yes.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ألف لام ميم
ألف لام ميم
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه
هدى للمتقين
هدى للمتقين
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب
ويقيمون الصلاة
ويقيمون الصلاة
ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
So basically I don't have to make pauses between the ayah between these ayahs, okay? Each part, okay? But since it's a longer ayah, okay, that's why in terms of learning it's okay. But now let's read the ayah all together. Listen up. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
أحسن. The next ayah we will go on with one breath, okay? والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
أحسن. The last آية أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون
أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Oh, thank you so much. Inshallah, we'll be back in just a minute, okay? Let's take a break. We'll be back inshallah. Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آيات
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
When your horse returns to our camp riderless
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي ورجاي
The ocean of dua
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves? Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyaratu Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyaratu al-Ashura. So stay with us.
ولعن الله ابن مرجان ولعن الله عمر بن سعد ولعن الله شمرا
Brothers and sisters, as you were with us, we discussed this beginning part of this phrase. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ May Allah distance from His mercy the clan of Ziyad and the clan of Marwan. About these two sentences, it is important for us to realize that when we say Al-Ziyad, Al-Marwan, we do not mean the entire lineage of Marwan and Ziyad, regardless of their character and personality. The true Al-Ziyad and Al-Marwan are those among the progeny of Marwan and Ziyad, who resembled them in their character and personality, who have a common belief with them, those who are content with what happened in that time, and those who are pleased with the atrocities of this time. So that is why we say time and place cannot limit Al-Ziyad and Al-Marwan. When we ask Allah to distance from His mercy, the clan of Ziyad and the clan of Yazid, we certainly mean the ones who believe in the same way they believed, and we of course do not mean those who are from their lineage, but believe in the path of the Ahlul Bayt. Now, we can move on to the next part. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ بَنِي أُمَيَّةَ قَاطِبَةً May Allah distance from His mercy, the progeny of Umayyah altogether. Banu Umayyah literally means the sons of Umayyah. The word Bani or Banu is the plural form of Ibn. In the Arabic, when we say Banu, we do not only mean the immediate male offspring, but rather the entire progeny. That is why Banu Umayyah would signify the progeny of Umayyah. The word Umayyah is the diminutive form of the word Amah. Diminutive means the musaggar of the form Amah. Amah means slave girl. The esteemed Allama Abdul Hussein Amini, in his magnum opus of light, Al-Ghadir, narrates this interesting report. Shariq ibn A'war, who was an ugly man, entered the presence of Muawiyah, whereupon Muawiyah said to him, "Indeed, you are ugly, and the one who is handsome is better than the one who is ugly. Then you are Shariq, partner, and Allah does not have Shariq, Allah does not have a partner. And indeed, your father is A'war, when it means one-eyed, and one who is sound is better than A'war. How did you become the leader of your community?" Thereupon, Shariq said to him in response, "Indeed, you are the son of Sakhr, or rock, and a soft ground, or sahl, is better than indeed what you are. And indeed, you are the son of Harb, which literally means war, and peace is better than war. And indeed, you are the son of Umayyah, and Umayyah is none save a slave girl who has been degraded. And how did you, tell me, become the commander of the faithful?"
When people ask, "I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right," go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, "I'm confused," say, "Please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion." You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. Subhanallah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is: do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, we all know the true meaning of Bani and Umayyah now, also the true meaning of La'an. Now the word Qatibah. Defining the root of the word Qatibah, Ibn Faris, in his Mu'jam, says, "Al-Qaf wa-ta' wa-al-ba, aslun sahih yadullu ala al-jam'." This qataba is a sound root that signifies to gather. Yuqal, "Ja'at al-Arabu qataba, idha ja'at bi-ajma'iha." It is said that the Arabs came qataban when they came all together. So the word qataban in the phrase Bani Umayyata Qatibah is what describes the state of Banu Umayyah. It means all together. Hence, the meaning of the phrase under discussion would be, "And may Allah distance from His mercy the progeny of Umayyah all together." La'anallahu Bani Umayyata Qatibah. Now, in order to have a better understanding of this part of Ziyaratul Ashura, first, I assume we'd have to get a better understanding of Umayyah and then his progeny. So we will, God willing, in the next episode, start to have a look at what history tells us about Umayyah's personality and also Banu Umayyah in the Holy Quran. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be examining a question, and that question is about the kiswa, the curtain, which is upon the house of God, the Kaaba. So this question is about kind of about how did this, you know, start, where did this start from, and, you know, why is it black, and, you know, what's the significance of it, and these kind of things. So in order to answer this question, we needed to take a step back and look at, the history behind this, and Ibn Ishaq, you know, he says that in the era of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a white cloth which covered the Kaaba, which had been woven in Misr, and it was woven by the Coptics, and after this, following this,